on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Holden, Colorado, LTZ. 3.99% finance rate available for ABN holders. T's and C's apply. And Master Builders Training Victoria. Short courses now available. Visit mdavtraining.com.au. RTO 3935.
8 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to the Friday edition of Time On. Sam McClure with you all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. And as I said, it is Friday, so we're going to be doing something a little differently today. We're going to be asking the question off the top of the show, what's had the biggest impression on you this week? And it's for Holden, Colorado, LTZ, because it's big on performance, it's big on technology, and it's big on safety. So what has made the big impression on you this week? And it might even be something that you didn't think would make an impression. Let's go through a few of the examples. There's the horse racing doping story, which is one of the biggest stories that sport has ever seen, certainly in this country. You've got tubing, you've got the talk of milkshakes, you've got text messages being sent, you've got Jordan DeGoey and everything that went with his stories, you've got drugs in sport, Jess Peris and the A sample. Is it a bigger issue than we make reference to? The Winter Olympics. I'll tell you what's had a big impact on me is that the levels of interest in the Winter Olympics drop exponentially when there is no Australians involved. I reckon the first week or so, every night there was something going on with an Australian. You'd stay up late and everyone would be talking about it the next day. The last few days, it's been tough to try to get interest in the Winter Olympics. The public nature of AFL contracts, has that had a big impact on you? There's a big discussion on Kane Corns' show this morning. I reckon it took up nearly an hour of talkback. You've got the reaction to AFLX. You've got Christian Petrarca re-signing. You've got the nine millionaires in the AFL. So 9429 1116, 0433981116. We've got prizes galore here. We've got double passes to the Melbourne Beer Fest. We've got Chrome Callaway golf balls to give away. 9429 1116. What's had the big impact on you this week on the Friday? We're going to talk West Coast Eagles now. They take on Port Adelaide this Sunday at Leaderville Oval. You can catch it, by the way, all live on 1116 SEN. Adam Papalia, Jack Crashaw, and Paul Hazelby all calling the action. And their captain has been good enough to join us on the line for the first time on Time On. Shannon Hearn, welcome to Time On.
Thanks very much, mate. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Shannon, the fourth consecutive year that you'll captain the West Coast Eagles, what were you like in your first year as skipper, and what do you think you'll be like this year?
Yeah, it is. My first year, as much as I think you get to a point in your footy where you want to have an impact on others and I suppose lead by example and especially help the young guys coming along. And I thought I was ready for that, but probably in my first year and second year, I probably tried to do too much instead of letting people grow. And I think that's what I've learned over the journey and hopefully will continue into this year is, you know, everyone goes about it slightly differently. You need to understand what we're trying to achieve as a group, but each individual goes about it slightly different. And that's probably the thing that I learned, especially in my first year.
Shannon, can you give us an insight into what you are trying to achieve at the West Coast Eagles? Because I think just by nature of where we are geographically, in Victoria, we don't often get to see West Coast live in action. And when we do, I mean, I'm not going to go back into what your results have been like in Melbourne because that's been well publicised and you get asked about that, I'm sure, every second day by journos over here. But give us an insight for people who don't live and breathe the West Coast Eagles every day. What is it that you're trying to achieve?
Well, we've always been a competitive club and that's something that we want to keep doing. We had a reasonably successful period, probably end of 2014, 15, 16, and even a little bit last year. And we've had a fair bit of changeover, and that's always the part of football and the exciting part of it is being a single person. It's helping the young guys come through and trying to teach what football's about, what the club's expected. But the main things that, basically we want to do, as I said, is be competitive, play a good style of football, which you can score from, but also defend. I mean, that's what the fans want to see. That's what everyone wants to see. But ultimately, I think people want to see, teams having a go and doing their best. And we've probably been a touch inconsistent with that. And as you spoke about being over in Victoria compared to WA, and that's something we've spoken about and want to keep getting better at is, when you're not, the momentum's going against you, you're not quite in the game, still being able to have an impact and get the momentum back your way.
I guess the reason I asked, Shannon, is that, and you look back to when you arrived at the footy club at the end of 05, you played in a grand final that year, then the next year you obviously win the flag. 07, I think you play in a semi and lose it. You've had three sort of very successful years early on. And you were, you were known as a ruthless, you know, tough, brutal, unforgiving, maybe even slightly arrogant, you know, in a good way, side. What do you think now the club sort of stands for?
Well, it's been well documented that period of football. And when I came in as an 18-year-old, when was 2006 was my first year, so we had a lot of talented players. And the way they went about their training was just fantastic, especially to learn from a younger player. And I was fortunate enough to be with Central Districts in the SANFL beforehand and Northern Districts in cricket, and had a lot of guys that I could learn from. And that's what we're aiming to do now. We had a period there of 2008, 9 and 10 where we had to get back to making sure the club, I suppose, from a cultural point of view and from internally, made sure we had some good people involved and going the right path, had some success, you know, without winning a grand final, 11 and 12. Little dip, and then we're in there again. So, as I touched on before, that's what we're trying to achieve now. Is you need to be competitive in AFL, and probably to be able to play a really good final, which you probably need to finish top six. I think we've managed to be able to do that, but that's a consistent thing that we're always ongoing and wanting to do.
So, does that require changing something in as far as your captaincy or the feeling around the side? I mean, you've lost two pretty big presences, I guess, in Mitchell and Pritis, particularly in the midfield. Has that changed the dynamic of the way you have to lead?
Well, it slightly does. I think each year you're always assessing a little bit individually where you can get better, but also what you can do to help the playing group come along. And like Drew Petrie as well, he was fantastic for us, and even Sam Butler down back. So it doesn't really change, but It's getting the players to just understand a little bit, and this is as a whole group, not just young blokes and senior blokes as well, just understand how hard you have to work at AFL level to be successful. And that doesn't mean you win every game, but you get percentages in your favour, and hopefully you can win 7 out of 10, so to speak. So it slightly changes, I suppose, the way you go about your footy, and it's more about your action. So yes, you need to talk to players, put the message out there about what's expected and how to play. But as I've touched on before, it's getting the players to understand they can go about it in their own sort of way, but it has to be in a way that's for the best for the team to win, and that can change each week.
One of the things you have been ultra consistent at the last few years, Shannon, is your home form at Subiaco. How will Optus Stadium impact on that, do you think?
It's a little bit of an unknown, and time will tell. So the couple of different questions, I suppose, are going to be posed is, like, Subiaco was a really unique ground with being quite skinny and long. So sometimes it might take teams to adjust to that. Or is it the travel? So that'll probably be the ground. The difference. Is it the ground size or is it the travel? Because I think Optus Oval's or stadium's pretty similar to Etihad and the MCG. So, you know, will there be a difference? 50,000 to 60,000 fans screaming for your home team, I think it certainly helps. But going up in the country, I played on numerous different size ovals, and that used to be an issue. Sometimes you come to the AFL now, and if it's 2 metres shorter, narrower, or whatever it is, it always seems to be an issue. But we've certainly been trying to make sure that wherever we play, and I understand it's cliche, is that we play a good level of consistent football, and we probably haven't been able to do that as well as we'd like, or up to a high quality standard in the past couple of years.
Just the last one on the ground, Shannon. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, the fact that Subi was such a unique, to use your word, ground size, and that, you know, that would have a negative effect when you came over and played at Etihad or the G. Does the similarity in Optus Stadium to that of the G and Etihad, do you think it has a chance to help you?
I think it can, yes. And We've done certain different trainings at different venues with it's mainly the width, I suppose, that you need to get used to. So as that Subiaco was quite skinny compared to most other grounds in the competition. So I think it can help us for sure. But really what we've been trying to work on as well as just working in a defying space to work into when you have the ball, and also that you need to protect or defend when the opposition have the ball. It is a little bit different playing at MCG, and you stand on the wing and you see how wide it is and how far it is out in the other wing compared to what Subiaco was. And I think once you played one or two games, you tend to you're used to those surroundings. So we'll have to make sure we're playing good football, and no doubt we hope that home form continues, but we need to make sure that we have that same attitude when we go away.
18 minutes past six here on Time on SEN. Sam McClure joined by the West Coast Eagles captain, Shannon Hearn. Really interesting chat. Shannon, before I let you go, I just want to ask you about a couple of players. One being someone you probably asked about 14 times a day, Nick Natanui, and his fitness. Where exactly is he at?
Well, yeah, I think people have a big interest because of the impact he can have in the game, and players and fans like to see him play. So, end of last year, he just had a slight interruption in the off season, and he's just been building that up throughout the preseason. Last 2 weeks, he's been able to do some reasonable body contact drills behind closed doors. So, I think Simo spoke about it the other day, is that they're aiming to get him right to be able to play round one. And that'll just depend on if he can get up for next week to play, or the week after that in the JLT, two or three game, I suppose. But he is tracking along quite well, because it's been a long road for him and reasonably frustrating. But I think he's getting back to where his jump is and his speed. That's what his game is, and I think he's getting back there.
Well, that's good news, whatever it is, whether it's JLT or rounds one, two or three, hopefully. Fingers crossed, and I'm touching wood that you can hear there, Shannon. Hopefully he's back in the early rounds of 2018. Before I let you go, Jeremy McGovern and Andrew Gaff, both star players for you, both out of contract at the end of the season. And I know that, you know, the speculation and we in the media drive a lot of it. But do you as captain, Shannon, have any sort of role to play in two of your stars who are playing under you that are both out of contract? Do you get involved, or is it nothing to do with you?
Well, there's a little bit of involvement, and also there's a little bit of nothing to do, because it's the club tries to work through the dollar and cents point of view. But you know, I think Adelaide had it a little bit last year, and that was quite well documented. But I do think as a captain, but a senior player, you do want your players to stay, because that means that probably your program's going quite well. But look, the two discussions that I always have with any player, wherever they are, is that, you know, football is, I suppose, your life, and you need to make the most of it. But at the same time, we want that to be at West Coast. So, Jeremy's a WA boy. Andrew's from Victoria, but he's loving it over here and seems quite settled. So, I want the players to stay. I want them to be able to play great football together. But, you know, really, if a player wants to explore his options or go elsewhere, that's up to him. And don't never hold any grudges. We've had Chris Judd do it, Brad Ebert of recent times. So while you don't want it to happen, it just happens in AFL these days.
Shannon, we appreciate your time. I know it's been a tough couple of years in the West Coast in the sense that you haven't reached the ultimate goal, but you know, given that you had your troubles last year, you had your injuries, no Nick Natanui, you still won a final, still finished in the top six of the competition. So it's never as good as it seems, it's never as bad as it seems. We appreciate your time.
That's right. Thanks very much for that, Sam.
Shannon Hearn there, captain of the West Coast Eagles. They're a fascinating case study, the West Coast Eagles, because, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, they just look like two different teams. You know, when they play at home, they're unstoppable at times. They look like Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval, and they come over to Melbourne, and it's just like they're playing within themselves. But he has been a magnificent servant to that footy club. He's clearly a good captain, clearly highly respected. He's on track, touching wood, he stays injury-free, to maybe be a 300-game player for that footy club. Now, we asked off the top of the show, with thanks to the Holden Colorado LTZ, big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety, what's left the biggest impression on you this week? And we've had a few calls. We're going to have to take a break in a sec, but we'll sneak a couple in, I reckon, if Mitch allows us to. Trav's in Ballard. Hello, Trav.
G'day, Sam in Ballarat, mate.
Oh, sorry. I've read that. No, I've read it right. It's just been written wrong. Trav's in Ballarat. Hello, mate. Sorry.
Hey, all good. Hey, just a quick one. There's a bit of talk earlier in the week about the Olympic qualifiers in the 120 sprint and the times with the A and the B. I just think at the end of the day, you know, whoever's quickest gets to go. I mean, they're all kicking up saying, oh, he was only in the B and he shouldn't be there. But if he's the quickest, you know, on the track at the time, well, he gets to go.
Okay, Trav, appreciate your thoughts. Steve is in Albert. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Sam. I just thought I'd pick you up on something that you said about the Winter Olympics before, which really sort of gets my goat.
Okay.
You said that the public's interest drops off once we haven't got an Australian in there.
Mm.
I'm really interested in it. I love watching it.
Mm.
And I've got to tell you that I think it's more about you guys that don't report on the people that actually lead in a particular competition or who's doing well in a particular competition. It's all about the Aussies in it.
Yep.
If the Aussies are no good in it, let's not talk about it. Let's talk about the people who are really, really good. We're talking about the, you know, arguably the fifth or the sixth largest competition in the world.
Yep.
And we've just spent the last 20 minutes talking about the West Coast Eagles.
Mm.
The season doesn't start for 2 months. You know, I love AFL. Absolutely love it. I'd like to talk about some sports apart from the AFL when we're out of season. And it really annoys me that the media says, oh, we always drop off when Australia's not there. I don't think we do.
Steve, I think you make a really good point, and I agree with you that the media has absolutely a big role to play in, are we too obsessed with Australians in events? Not just at the Winter Olympics, but at other international events. Steve, just before I let you go, what other things this week have happened outside of footy that you think we should be paying more attention to?
I watched a little bit of the Big Air, and I must admit, I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that Big Air today that I just glanced upon in the office. My God.
It's amazing.
Did we talk about that? It was the most spectacular thing I've ever seen.
Hey, Steve, do you like golf or do you like beer? Or if you
like
both,
golf.
Pick... Okay, well, Steve, take a box of Chrome Soft Callaway golf balls from us. Is that all right?
And I do play with them, by the way. Thank you very much, Sam.
Steve, enjoy them. And we appreciate, as always, all opinions, whether you agree or disagree. And I think Steve's argument's got a lot of merit. Hey, we asked off the top of the show, with thanks to the Holden Colorado LTZ, big on performance, big on technology, and big on safety. What's left the biggest impression on you this week? And as tended to be what's happened this week, the phones have just gone nuts. And so is the SMS. And Pat from Ballin, thinking on 0433 98 11 16, Jake Stringer's hairdo has had the biggest impact on him this week. I've never, ever seen, ever, a reaction to a haircut from a footballer like Jake Stringer. I mean, does anyone care? Yes, he's gone peroxide, the peroxide man bun. Yes, it's extreme, but do we really care? There's bigger things happening. Michael's on the road. Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you going?
Good, mate.
The Melbourne Cup, you know, like the doping thing with the horses, the milkshakes, you know, sure enough, the other races, but you know, only probably less than 10% the population bet on every week, but over 90 would bet on the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
So that's affected a lot of people, I think. You know, the security and the integrity is very high there, and I'm a bit shocked by it all.
Are you a punter, Michael?
I am, yeah. Yes.
Were you surprised by those stories that broke in the Herald Sun?
Yeah, I was, yeah, for sure.
So there was no cynical part of you that would think that somewhere along the line this sort of stuff was going on? Because I guess I was like a lot of people. I was shocked and surprised by the gravity of it all. But, you know, there was some part of me in the back of my mind that thought this stuff might be going on somewhere.
Oh, for sure, somewhere, but not the Melbourne Cup.
No.
You know, like, there's been security guards, you know, since Farlev's day, you know, in the Melbourne Cup. It's you know... They don't want to novel horses in that race, if there's any race, because so many people bet on it. So important to Australia, really.
Michael, do you like a beer?
Love a beer.
Have yourself a double pass to the Melbourne Beer Fair, Saturday, March 3 at Katani Gardens. It's in St Kilda, Michael. Sample from over 300 craft beers, ciders and spirits, food and live music. It is all on us, Michael. On the road, appreciate your call. Jason's in Boronia. Hello, Jason.
It's Jason Murlbach, you mean?
Oh, Murlbach. How are you, Jason?
Oh, thank you. I'd like to say my impact for the week was West Coast Eagles. Thank you for the interview with Banger.
What about the interview with Shannon Herney talking about, Jason?
Thank you for the interview that you did.
Absolutely.
And I really say to all people who have not renewed their membership to the Eagles, renew today in Melbourne.
Yes, renew, I agree.
089 3883 4 3 4 5 double.
Eagle, on the Eagles getting a free plug from you. Jason, what's had the biggest impact on you this week, mate?
I think the although I don't believe in the Melbourne Cup, I feel in the Melbourne, the racing situation is not very good.
No, I agree.
You need to turn it around. All I say is it is a very bad state of affairs. When a sport has to resort to below-the-belt tactics by its contributors to make news. And all I can say to those in racing is get your house in order right now.
Well, I think that's the strongest message we've had on it in quite some time. Get yourself in order. And fair enough, too. And Jason is right. It's below the belt. It's just... There are too many words to think of when it comes to that story and what has gone on, and I will leave it to bigger authorities in the world of horse racing than I to comment on it. Dave's in Bunbury. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, good evening, Sammy. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. It's Friday. What's not to be happy about?
Oh, that's exactly right. Another hour or two over here and I'll be home, so I'll be glad. But good on Jace for pushing the Eagles case. He's a top man. Jace, a good Eagles supporter. The thing for me, Sammy, that left the biggest impression, obviously, there's all the negative crap, but I like to think positively. And the Aussies winning the Tri Series in the 2020s, it looked like we had a team that's finally come together, showing some cohesion.
Yep.
There was a bit of joy there. There's a very well-balanced side as well. And for the first time in a long time, I actually enjoyed watching Australian 2020 rather than just the Big Bash.
Geez, that's a good call from you, Dave. Really good call. We're going to be talking to Aaron Finch after the break, I think. He's just returned from the Tri-Series victory. He's going to captain the Vics over your way, Dave, by the way. They're playing WA, and he's going to be captain because Pete Hanscom's gone over to South Africa. Hey, Dave, before I let you go, Dave in Bunbury, WA, I'm not sure if he caught our interview with West Coast Eagles captain Shannon Hearn, and you might be a Freo fan for all I know, or a fan of another club. What's the biggest issue that the West Coast Eagles face right now, Dave, in a short sort of 20-second answer?
Oh, the biggest issue, I think it's the unknown, to be honest, Sammy. I think we've actually got a reasonable side. It's just a matter of if our young players can step up or not, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you've had a lot of good players for a long time, and I think you're waiting for the next wave to come through. Dave, what's the weather like in WA, sunny as always?
Believe it or not, Sammy, I've been watching the weather over there thinking, how the heck have we swapped this summer? It's been very mild and enjoyable.
Oh, well, you guys have good weather 10 months of the year, so don't complain about it. Dave, we appreciate your call. Happy Friday, mate. Have a good weekend. Let's move on and just touch base. Before we get to Aaron Finch and maybe another break before him, the crisis surrounding Tasmanian footy, it's been such a big talking point, not just this week, but the last few weeks, really. And AFL Tasmania CEO Tricia Squires, I'm not sure if you caught much of this interview this afternoon, but she joined Andy Maher, and a few of the big questions were put to her by Andy about the state of footy down in Tassie, and a lot of it pricked my ears. Here's some of it.
Do you think that Tasmanian footy is actually in a state of crisis at the moment?
Look, I've obviously been asked that question a lot over the last 2 weeks, and that's how long I've been in the job, is whether it's in crisis. And I don't like to use the word crisis, because I know we've got a lot of challenges in Tassie footy, but there's also been a lot of work that's done over the last 12 months, especially at the grassroots level. We've had an increase of 25% in AusKick as one of the examples of things we've been doing across the state, but we do have our challenges, and one of those is in the northwest with our state league.
What do you think needs to be done? Do you think, in your position as CEO of AFL Tasmania, Tricia, do you think that a full-time AFL team in Tasmania is a good idea? Are you an advocate for that?
I'm an advocate for what is the best solution for Tasmanian football. And I can't tell you right now what that is. But what I know is that we want as much football content in the state. We want everyone who's playing footy, from whether it's AusKick up to a state league, that they're having a positive experience, and that we're ensuring that we're getting as many people playing the game that we love here in Tassie. But what I'm asking as the head of AFL Tasmania, the AFL House, is to help with that strategy, because there is a report that was written in April 2016, and as we have seen, the landscape has changed in Tasmania. Quite a few things are impacting those recommendations. So it's just looking at them and saying, are we heading in the right direction, or what do we need to change?
Tricia Squires there, head of AFL footy in Tasmania. A lot of questions, not many answers. Hey, the JLT Community Series kicks off at 2 o'clock tomorrow on our sister station at 1377 Classic Rock. First up, it's North Melbourne versus the Demons in Hobart with Jack Heverin and Adam Cooney. From then, at 4:30. It's Essendon v Richmond in Wangaratta with Brett Phillips and Terry Wallace. For racing fans, you can tune in to 11:16 SEN from midday for what will be a massive day of Group 1 racing, featuring, of course, the Blue Diamond Stakes, one of the most open Blue Diamonds we've seen in recent years, plus all the latest in the world of sport.
Well, Aaron Finch has just returned from Aussie duties. He helped, of course, wrap up the T20 Tri-Series title, and now he's back in Victorian colours, and he's captaining the Bush Rangers this weekend over in WA. He joins us on the line. Aaron, welcome to Time On.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
Finchie, can I start by asking you, as I said, leading the Bush Rangers in the Sheffield Shield this weekend, Peter Hanscom has gone across to South Africa. You're averaging 116 in Australian colours this summer. Correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like you're in career best form. Do you still harbour test ambitions, Finchie? Because your numbers across all formats would suggest that you're right up there.
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing well. Playing test cricket is still my number one goal. Whether it happens or not, it's a different story. I mean, the side played beautifully throughout the summer. There's plenty of blokes knocking on the door to be next in line. So, it's been a pretty good summer personally, but an opportunity still, I think, present itself if you're to take it.
Have you done anything differently this summer, Finchie, to previous ones?
No, I don't think so. I think that, probably in the one-day game, just been probably taking fewer less risks at the start of the innings and just making sure you get in before you start to really expand your stroke play. And probably going on and getting a couple of hundreds helps that a lot, I think.
Yeah.
When you're in and out of form, well, when you're in form and you get 50s and 60s, well, it's when you miss out a few times, then you're back to averaging mid-30s and it looks like a pretty ordinary summer. So I think when you do cash in and manage to get a few hundreds, and inevitably you do miss out a couple of times, but you still stay up there. But getting hundreds and losing in the one-day series was pretty disappointing still.
Finchie, you said your number one priority still or ambition is to play test cricket. There's no way better than to make runs in the Shield game. What kind of mindset do you have going into the Sheffield Shield? I mean, obviously to make runs, but you're already doing that. So do you think there's anything more that you can do to try to push those test aspirations?
Oh, making more runs in Shield cricket is obviously the priority there. I mean, I've had a few starts this year, got a couple of 50s, 60s, 70s, and not really gone on and got that big 150-plus that sort of turns a few heads. So that's been disappointing. So that'll be a goal if you do to get in it, just to really cash in and make them starts, make them count, I suppose.
How big is the adjustment from T20? I mean, being back with the Bush Rangers along with Glenn Maxwell, you spent the last couple of months playing the short form. Is it more difficult than we as external parties make it out to be, the adjustment going back to the long form?
Oh, it can be. I suppose with the Duke ball being used in the second half of the year as well, with it swinging around, probably more than the Cooker. I think the way that the Shield table is sitting at the moment, teams will be pushing for results, so the wickets will no doubt probably have a little bit more in them than they did at the start of the year. So I think it's still about being as positive as you can and I suppose backing your main game plan. And for me, that's been aggressive, trying to put the bowlers on the back foot. And if that tends to, I suppose, give you a bit of a chance. I mean, when the ball's swinging and seaming and going all over the place, sometimes attack is the best way to go.
What about back on the T20 for a moment? We've been pretty terrible at that format for a while, and suddenly we're second in the world. We win the Tri-Series. What do you put that turnaround down to?
Well, I think it was just a group of guys that were all playing T20, well, majority leading into the series. Having the same squad of, I think, 14 players there for the whole time, as opposed to in the past when guys have played one or two games and they've gone off for test duty or something like that. We just had a really consistent 14 players to pick from. So from when you have that, you get guys getting their roles set inside. You get guys that become comfortable with the roles, and I think that's all it comes down to is guys just, I think, being secure with their spot and a bit of team continuity.
If you're just tuning in to Time On, Sam McClure with you, joined by Australian cricket star Aaron Finch, who's captaining the Bush Rangers this weekend against WA over in WA. Finchie, what about Chris Lynn? I'm sure you saw the vision of his shoulder injury. Luckily, he won't require surgery. At what point do you reckon, Finchie, we're getting to the stage where, you know, these IPL deals, and his is worth nearly $2 million, puts you in a position where, you know, you might think it's too big a risk to represent your country so close to one of these tournaments, because it's serious money we're starting to talk about?
Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, it was really disappointing for Chris to go down the way he did. I think diving on his right shoulder, he felt comfortable. So he went down and just popped out. But great news that he doesn't require surgery. I spoke to him this morning, and he thinks that it could be 6 weeks of rehab and trying to be back for the IPL. He misses the Pakistan Super League, which he was meant to fly straight from New Zealand to. So that's one of those things that his priority is playing cricket for Australia as well. And he said that he wants to play as much short form cricket as he can for Australia. So, when you weighing up money versus opportunity to represent your country, I think that comes down to a personal preference and whatever decision you do make, you have to live with that. But I mean, I know exactly what you mean when you say the guy's potentially foregoing $2 million around there to dive and save a single in a T20 game for Australia. But I think it was just one of those freak things that happened.
Yeah, well, it's a very easy argument either way, isn't it? It's $2 million is $2 million. But once you start not playing because you're worried about getting injured, I mean, you can get injured almost doing anything, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And Chris is... his injury history is probably stacking up there a little bit now, particularly on his shoulders. So, I mean, it could have happened in any game, anywhere. It's a tough question to answer, really.
And on the tough question, Finchie, who might let you go? It's been a joy to watch you this summer, as I mentioned, averaging 116 in Aussie colours. You got strong test credentials. I know you've hit over 300 runs in the Shield so far. You're averaging in the mid-30s. Let's hope that continues to grow. Let's hope you make some runs in WA. And even bigger than that, let's hope the Vics get a win.
Cheers. Thanks very much for your time,
Sam. Red Time headlines. GWS is leading Sydney by 11 points at halftime. That's in their little inter-club match. GWS 6-5-41. The Swans are 4-6-30. Over in Pyeongchang, Sammy Kennedy-Sim finished 8th overall in the ladies' ski cross. She was a pretty strong medal chance, but failed to make the final after a poor start. That was in her semi. Kailani Crane, currently 16th in the ladies' figure skating. Four-time Olympian, by the way, and current Kookaburra's captain, Mark Knowles, will retire from hockey after the Commonwealth Games. That was news today. Packed up what was really a pretty busy week of news. And as we saw from the start of the week with what happened to Jordan Ngoi, when footy news comes back, it comes back strong. And it's only going to get stronger with the JLT starting this weekend.